about the zeros and the ones? About the zeros and the ones. About the zeros and the ones.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to another exciting episode. I gotta ask, Matt Witt, when we were joking about parody songs and you wrote the parody Order 66 and had it performed with your dad's band, I noticed halfway through song or near the end, there is the Vader breathing put in. Did you pull that from somewhere, or is that like you?
No, that's me, man. That's totally me.
You on your puffer or with your...
Yep. No, I just, I mean, it's not a hard sound to make. Especially if you've been a Star Wars fan for your entire life.
Well,
tougher from seasonal asthma.
Yes.
Yeah, that too. Oh, Messina, check your mic source, bro.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, he's a mess. Speaking of Star Wars fans for life, I got to say, there he is. We put out a post just to our patrons. Early access, because we've just been putting everything up for free, you know, and we have a couple of patrons now. Thank you so much for your support, and more support is always needed, you know, shake down your Star Wars friend, buddy. And I was racking my brain going, like, what bonus content do we have that we haven't made in a while? And Matt sends me this picture of him in a Star Wars gambling shirt that's disguised as a Hawaiian shirt. So bring the mic to you there. It just even blends into the background. It's funny because there's a picture of you all looking at it sideways going, huh? The cartoon. What is this going on?
It's awesome. I was Facebook got me, you know, they're just like, I know how we can make some money off this dude. Here's your Hawaiian Star Wars shirt. I just saw it like scrolling through the feed. I'm like, what is that? That's a C-3PO head. Click the picture. I'm like, that's an awesome shirt. And they're like, give us money and you can have it. And I was like, oh, you got me again. Damn targeted advertising.
Right on. A bottle episode tonight. We do not have our Jedi who's trying to get his band to play at the casino. We do not have our hacker or sniper, old man Zin, who's sitting out in the ship. We do not have proper microphone discipline, because I swear I can't get 20 minutes of the show without hearing Matt's love for that genre. What do we have? We have tonight the moment you've been waiting for in season 3, the beginning of the Sabacc tournament, which of course is going to focus on Rahul Oberst, played by Matt Witt. We have Joe Gibson continuing one of his cameos, who is a shoe-in for possible security tonight. And of course, the other security major, the man shaking everyone down at the door, Ryan Messina's in the house playing Merrick the mercenary. Merrick, you look like you've had a rough night.
I'm putting balls in holes all day long. You know what this is like.
I only cut the putting balls in holes.
Yes. No, this is accurate to what you've been doing. Okay. Have you put balls in holes once in your life? Yeah, no. That is what the consequence of what it's doing. This is how we will play.
Okay.
It's called shark fin.
Yeah, I see. That's good.
Yeah. Have you put balls in holes, though?
I've been known to ball once or twice. And
No.
I mean, it is the dude's name. Just saying.
Yeah, that way.
Right?
Are you calling me out, Messina?
Yes, I am calling you out, Mr. Ball. Do you put balls in holes? Ball.
It's kind of an open...
Yeah,
statement.
I want fan art of that in 2 weeks' time.
I know, I've been calling for fan art for years, and The community finds it offensive, I believe, to go, give me fan art. Well, we were just joking. We just thought it'd be funny to someone going, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, I can draw that. Imagine that crazy moment because I was right there with you kind mm-hmm. of thing. But beyond Alex, my daughter, drawing a couple of things as a joke, like Rahul looking like Mr. Burns, you know, or that sketch and a couple of things. We've been fishing around the community since Alex bought us the artwork here and my wife colored in type of thing, you know, about getting official poster art for the shows and everything. But I had no idea that maybe we've pissed the art community off, that if we actually have artists that are fans and are listeners, for us going, oh yeah, we want to see fan art, then the artists might be going, oh, I'm on to you. You're just trying to get free art. And no, that wasn't our intent. We just, Jesus.
No, 100%. You may be honest, but I am not. No. I am after whatever you have. If you have crayons, draw a picture. Thank you.
Set your 5-year-old to the task.
I have a 1-year-old. He's already on the task.
Who's that? That's Rahul Obris. He married mommy.
I would love to see a 5-year-old's rendition of one of our casts.
It's the family. There's the divorce.
Problem
dad,
is our podcasts are not 5-year-old friendly.
No. Okay. First off, if you have a 5-year-old and they want to draw a podcast, thank you. Secondly, if you have a 5-year-old and they're listening to our podcast, what are you doing?
Stop that right now.
Thank you, but no.
How could you?
I love you, but not like this. Not like this.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually thought that Switch that dies in the first Matrix right away. I thought she would have been a go-to character for like much longer. This is Apoc Switch. Oh, okay. Do you guys remember Apoc and Switch?
Yeah, no, Mouse.
Yeah, even Mouse, you thought he would like make it to the second movie, and it's just like, nope.
Mouse is a favorite character.
You like Mouse?
I did. I did. Has to be past tense.
He reminds me of the guy that played, that had the rat attack in The Core, the hacker from The Core movie, where they drill the center with the train. The movie The Core.
I don't think I've seen Animatrix?
No. It's a movie, The Core.
Oh, that's drill, a genius idea.
Oh, The Core.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Mm. Oh man, yeah. That was a great sci-fi. That was like you know Unobtainium, when it is like a resource that is used by the writers. You know
we couldn't obtain enough Unobtainium.
Unobtainium. It is one of those. It is when you know like well the chemists have said this does not exist. It's like so how do we resolve this? He goes we use Unobtainium. Okay, moving forward. It basically is like suspension of disbelief flag number one, which I am 100% in force of.
Yeah, and in the world of sci-fi and fantasy, you got to...
Oh, yeah. You have to really put that flag up hard and fast.
Yeah, you gotta agree to disagree, believe to disbelieve.
My science and my physics checked out 20 minutes ago. It's like, but the poles, they reversed polarity. It's like, and everyone who has feelings should feel that.
Nice. So, the scene. Gentlemen, if I take your attention to the map on roll 20.
Yeah.
The red background being the gaseous cloud outside beyond the city. The heroes find themselves, a few of them, placed within the Royal Bespin Hotel Casino. A beautiful open bar area in the dewdrop bottom of the map, and several tables of every type of ilk of gambling have been cleared from the floor to make room for sabacc tables. What is sabacc? It's the closest actual casino game, as far as I can tell, is blackjack with some poker thrown in, because you are trying to add up your cards' values to 23 instead of 21 in the positive, break even at zero, with a very special royal flush kind of poker deal called a fool's array, or take your cards so far into the negative, again, at a perfect negative 23, those are the winning hands. Plus some extra dice and this and that to make for some flavor. But if you had to picture what they're playing, the old Bond movies, and they play LeBlanc, you know, like the French blackjack where they try to get to nine, Neuf LeBlanc, you know, and they got the big paddle and they're, oh, Mr. Bond, you know. Nice white jacket, you know, that kind of thing going on. Blackjack. Picture blackjack. And we're going to enter the scene at the door. One of the entrances to one of the main rooms of the tournament on day one. The first day of the Cloud City Sabacc tournament opens with hundreds of sentient beings packed into the Royal Casino, adjacent rooms, bars, auxiliary meeting rooms. Members of many, many species dot the predominantly, well, mostly human audience. The sounds of droids dealing Sabacc cards rise over the din. The clank of glasses and hum of conversation fills the air. But at each of the Sabacc tables, there is mostly silence, except for the occasional words of a gambler placing his bets. Servant droids wheel about it within the crowd, and members of the Royal Security Force, the Royals, not the Royal as in like gentry, remember it is the Royal Casino, the Royal Security Force move about the room and keep a watchful eye on the proceedings. Let's quickly jump back in time, where, gentlemen, not only do you as security, Mr. Merrick and his small bug-like compatriot, have been given the proverbial earpiece, comms, to speak with the security force, you are also been made aware that each contender is given a pin, a badge, that they must wear open within the casino floor. When openly wearing this pin, it marks them as a contender that they are still in the tournament. When they are removed from the tournament, the pin is taken from them. But it serves a double purchase, a double service to the security force, because the pin has a micro jammer component in it so that the contenders cannot use comms and cheat from an outside source. So anyone wearing a pin are the only people allowed to gamble at the table. And these pins will jam communications amongst the gamblers themselves to an outside source. You guys don't wear those pins and are on ultra high frequency, where if you pass close to a contender, the jamming pin is so weak, it really can only jam, you know, the proverbial personal space of the wearer. So if you manhandle someone for a reason, whether they have a pin or not, it won't interfere with your comms as far as, you know, go. Charge, you know, the fifth floor, you know, old man Jenkins is rigging the slot machines, that kind of thing. You get a call, it's, you're not going to miss it because you were glad handing somebody with a pin. So first question, since you guys are a party, would be, do we tell Rahal this?
When he comes through and he gets wanded.
And you guys, someone gives him the pin? May not be you, he might come through another entrance. Like I said, there's lots of ways and ins and outs kind of thing.
Yeah, all depending on which entrance he comes through. If Rahal comes through the entrance that Merrick's at, it's like brothers reunite.
Mm. All right. So how about this? Three of you roll percentage. If Rahal's percentage roll is lower than either of yours, he's passed through your gate.
Sounds good.
Let's head back to the floor.
29.
Oh, that's pretty good. Damn. Not bad.
What do you do?
Well, you have the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah.
But beyond that...
11.
Okay. So, our familiar faces are spread across two different exits, and Rahal, one of the two security officers that stop you and wand you, is Gilligar's bodyguard that's been working with you guys.
Cool.
Notice I refuse to say his name so I don't screw it up. I've just been describing Bug Boy over and over again. I think Joe comes up with these names on purpose just to mess with me.
I think he comes up with those names because they're cool.
Oh.
This is a Bash. It's a great involved. Name.
I don't know why it's so hard.
Because it has
vowels and
seriously,
consonants.
Dude, you should just name your next guy John Smith.
Yeah. Just in case.
Character
and Jeff will be like Joe. Joe. Yeah.
Is that Smythe? Yeah. Basic is fun. Mr. Besh.
Yes.
You see Rahal in the line, okay. But it's not your turn to wand.
All right.
So you have an opportunity to inform him, or possibly, you know, tap out your guy to make sure you're the guy that comes in, or you want to maybe contact. But
Yeah, I will do a light pat down on Rahal and
okay.
Tell him.
Can I can I have a persuasion check, please?
Sure you can. As soon as I find my dude. It's been a while since actually using the system. So.
Since rolling on D20, because we're back and forth.
Yeah, well, that and it's taking forever to load. I don't know why.
It's par for the course.
But yes, I will get you one of those when it comes up.
Okay. Merrick and Rahal, and also from Joe as well, Mr. Besh, I also take perception checks because I am sure, you know, Rahal is being aware of his surroundings, looking for gambling threats. Oh, Merrick, you're looking for anyone that looks like they could be packing, you know, that kind of thing.
28 perception.
Okay.
Ooh.
28. You spot the back and almost a backward side profile of someone very familiar, a woman that you know, have known very well in your past. But the dress, the hairstyle, don't match the memory. But the way she moves and then turns and disappears in a crowd, it's just someone that you catch way across the room. You know, maybe you'll run into her, you know, that type of thing. You sense a presence in the alimony. A presence you haven't found.
Fair. That's fair.
A check you haven't bounced in some time.
I only had a 7 perception.
But as quickly as, you know.
My power in the alimony is not as strong.
Yeah,
as...
she like bumps right into the wall, which is Merrick. You know, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, sir. You know, moves her aside. She like lifts his card and his gun and everything. Just keeps going.
Oh, very sorry. Very sorry.
Merrick's like, I forgot my wand. Now he's just shaking people by the ankle. Every person that comes to the door. Gotta improvise. And perception from Mr. Besh.
Well, you asked for a persuasion first. So
yep.
My persuasion was 2.
Okay. So your partner, security force, I don't know, Smythe, is wanding, you know, the next person, patron, gambler, audience member, and then you just step out behind this person. You know it's Rahal. He doesn't, right? And he's, you know, sir, spread out your arms, doing the thing, that type of thing. And, you know, the guys comply. And then you just, like, jump behind him to start doing the grope, you know. Man boobs, hips. Marengo to the left, Marengo to the right, take loose change. Okay, so the guy's like, what are you doing? Dude, we're not supposed to, you know, we're not supposed to handle the actual patrons. Anyway, Rahal. You're very focused on this woman. You see her and she's gone, but still holding a perception above 25, the fact that Vibesh leans in and indicates what to you really quickly?
I can't.
What do you whisper to him?
You will win.
Good luck. Just. Can I have an intelligence check, Mr. Gibson? I'm just
really?
Gonna talk. Really? You guys have been talking about 5 minutes how I fucked up your name, and now you're like, and I lean in to tell him. Right? What do you tell him? I don't know.
Don't or... know because that was 10 minutes ago.
Exactly.
10.
That's right. Leave the pick on GM Jeff Ramp down to 5.
Wasn't it to let me know about the whole comms thing?
There you go. Yeah.
I love the fact that they are cosplaying right at the current moment.
Yeah, like he's got his Hawaiian slat. I wish you could see this.
He just needs to still get the tapers from like a half an inch to a half to like a full 3/4.
We have given patrons early access, but I will make sure that this finds itself onto our social media, Instagram, and you know abroad is Matt, you know, rocking the shirt in the mirror. The majestic shower curtain of ocean scene behind you is reminiscent of when you guys bought your ship. It was a really good shot. I really like the picture. He's got his Blues Brothers hat on and glasses. It's good stuff, you know. Hey guys, remember when we bought the ship? You know, the one that had dead people in the walls? No, nothing wrong. Great deal. Off you went. No questions.
I don't remember. It was a good deal.
Yeah, that's right. Good deal. Good times.
Don't take a dead body. They will take that from the deductible.
Okay. So Besh, because your partner is cutting you off and giving you shit, you only have a moment to convey this message. Keep it short, but you lean in. What would you say to him?
Arms don't work.
Okay. Fair enough. He's a pro. Yeah. Comes over. Shove. give him the booster pack to boost the signal, and he's walking around like a big ham radio on his belt. What is that? Nothing. He's got the clamps like the car charger boosters like stuck on either side of his actual pin. Please ignore. It's all good. Yeah.
No, I'd expect that sort of thing.
Okay. So message received. Woman disappears. One of your guys does you a solid and lets you know your comms are down, and then you go. Patron, audience, gambler. Now, as I said before, people will come in and out, and you guys are patting people down, checking people out each day. The tournament takes several days, and the odds of them crossing your gates are up, especially the player. I mean, obviously, it's a game. There's some scripting going, oh, you know, if anyone's playing security, give him this guy. But on your first day, beyond that, there's not a lot going on. However, I would think... with one more chance encounter, and this time I need the security men to roll percentage once more, and I shall roll percentage. Yes. Well, let's not forget why we're here. Why did you guys come to Bespin?
Why did we come to Bespin?
We're still digging up info on Project Sarlacc.
Right.
Sarlacc.
And who are the two parties involved in Project Sarlacc that you suspect?
The Empire and Darga the Hutt.
Exactly. And you are trying to find Darga, or his contact, and you're looking for any signs of the Empire.
Imperial entanglement.
Exactly. So, Besh with a 51. And Merrick, percentage once more, sir?
Yeah, rolled, and... what did I say? I rolled it, and it's a 79.
Okay. With my 67, I would say I'm right in the middle. So, not necessarily passing through your gate, gentlemen, but in your area, once on the floor past you, obviously this guy came in from another gate, but coming close to your edge, you know, he's just walking by. Both of you, on the first day, spot an Imperial lieutenant in full gear. He's wearing the actual gray garb. He's got his lieutenant insignia. He's young. Mm-hmm. Guy looks like, I wouldn't say he's a cadet, but he looks like he's, you know, fresh into the service. He's only a lieutenant. And he has a very notable jagged scar that runs from his temple down along the side of his face, behind his eye, and down into his cheek area.
Mm.
Young dude stands out. And if there's a definite sign, no stormtroopers, no...
no red hair.
No red hair.
Unfortunate.
Tempting. You know, very tempting.
We could really get miles out of that.
Yeah. No, I believe the specific cameo you're looking for, that guy hasn't been born yet, but...
That's okay. The walls exist in all of our timelines.
That's good. He comes, you guys note that he's here, and the uniform looks legit, so that looks something that's puffing up, or, you know, that kind of thing. Now, considering you guys ran into the Baron, and the clone troopers he was with were, like, in civilian clothes, but they look like, you know, quadruplets. And the fact that you guys were running around and he had overqualified bodyguards that were, a.k.a. slaves, to protect him.
He had those guards.
All gone now, you know.
All gone.
To see an Imperial officer just strolling around in here, and he's got a pin. Dude's a player. It's going to be at a table. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about how the tournament works. One of the largest opening ceremonies that you guys have had to suffer in your life, and that Cloud City, by the way, has ever seen. Fireworks, floats, parades, all that kind of thing. But the players, and you as a security force, miss all of that. People come in talking about a street band that was playing, that was really rocking it, and some kind of ruckus that went on outside. But we'll get back to that in another episode. Apparently, I wouldn't say it went off without a hitch, but the ceremony to open this tournament was grandiose. But again, you guys were working inside, missed most of it. Then we have the fact the place is packed. However, you are told, Merrick and Besh, that 51 competitors have entered the tournament, and there will only be one winner in a matter of a few days. Day one, if you check the tables, we have on this floor, on this level, we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. So if you divide, you got at least anywhere from four to six players on any given table playing Sabacc to cover your 51. Okay. And some of them are not necessarily in this room. Like, this is sectioned off as a tournament room.
Yeah.
But they also have so that people, like some big whales and some big, you know, competitors can feel like they're involved. There's a couple tables that are for the general public so they can feel they got close to the action, you know, that kind of thing. But there is very tight security between spectators that are just kind of behind your polite, you know, the bank line, the fuzzy rope that used to drape from post to post, that kind of thing. They got that going on, but there's also a bit of a shock value. You cross the line and it's like, ow. Not enough to really hurt you, but there is notable pain if you try to, like, you know, pass something over, you know, because competitors could wave and could pass objects to the crowd or whatever. So there's a distinct breach line of a double wide bar,
right?
You know, so, you know, you'd literally have to toss something across the room. There are droids flying around, hovering droids with cameras watching everything, and you can bet there's some kind of control room that you guys, not just one but several control rooms in the casino, and you guys report to control room 7. So right. When control room 7 talks to you, that's for you.
All right.
Okay. Also, all the dealers are droids to make it legit. There's no, you know, for lower chances of tampering. Okay. So before we nestle into the scene, security or player, do you have any other questions about what's going on?
Nope. What to expect? That's fair.
Okay.
All good.
Yeah, lots of warning. Lots of, in your name, please.
Okay. So, each table will have only, as I said, about 5 or 6 players at any good time. And as the days wear on, we're sure to start losing people out of the game rather quickly. The competitors, there's every walk of life. There are rich-looking people. There are, you know, regular looking people. There's people that are trying to pull off pinstripes in the fall, but I don't know, I guess he can do it. You know, just every wildlife, every kind of alien, including Captain Koroma Moro, Captain Moro, the Twi'lek captain that is Switch's contact that got you in. You see him. He's not at your table to start off, but he's out there floating around. And you guys are free to pick up. You have, like, you've been assigned some tables, but after a couple of games, you guys are free to sort of feel people out or, you know, move through and sit down at certain tables, that kind of thing. Because remember, your contract for your 7% is to help Moro win. So if you can stick close to him, right? Now, obviously, you want to be a shadow for, like, the entire tournament. And you probably believe that Switch has a competent guy that will, you know, he will make it through the ranks. It's when we get to the last couple days that Moro probably expects you. And we've probably talked about that. He sent you a missive saying, you know, you're a professional, I can hold my own for a while, but when it gets nitty gritty and, you know, the true players, you know, come up, this is where I'm going to start needing your help. So you're free to have your fun, but obviously don't get knocked out early, because they're going to be pissed. They're out 10 credits to you to be on the run, 10,000 credits, bounty hunters, brand new story arc, you know. So we're on the run from the gangster that we work with on the side. All right, so you guys have had a week. I sent you guys an email to think about what, you know, what would you ask people? How would you role play? Because even though I do, it's unopened, I do have the handy dandy actual, see this, Sabacc game waiting. You know, certain COVID and attendance reasons, I can't necessarily pop this open around the table. We're looking to do an actual side special game with Ramagiligar, Rahal, and an actual game for our patrons as bonus content, which will be released early to them and then eventually to the public, or we might just hold it greedily for those patrons in the future. But for right now, rules is written. We're going with the very basic gambling rules of wisdom checks for the players, because you guys are, it's a spy movie. You're on a mission. You're not really here to play Sabacc. You guys are here to look for Dargus contact that might, you know, contact the Empire, as well as work on the side for Switch's guy to get him to win. If you guys win, great. Yep. If you don't, you know, no pressure. But, you know, don't forget, besides all the fun, why we're here. So, anything you guys want to get into on the first day? Is there anything of your own actions where you guys are concerned, or anything that you think is taking note of? Anything specific that you're looking for in the way of security, or, you know, your gambling?
Nope, just play. Keep my eyes open for the lady in the pretty dress. Mm-hmm. And also keep my eyes open for to see if I can peg the Imperial. I'm guessing it was pretty not hard.
They spot him right away. But we have the assigned breaks. You guys are at the table playing hard for hours, and then they have like a break time. And as the first break comes up, people scatter, and you go to the restroom, you grab another drink. You know, sometimes drinks are brought to you, but again, they're kind of strict on that. You know, you're there to play, you have your one drink, you let the ice melt, and you focus on the game for hours at a time. Then they have this break where you can stretch your legs, you know, after 4 hours, move around, try to out-psych, you know, your fellow competitor, that kind of thing. But unfortunately, this is where they kind of open things up to the crowd, and you have well-wishers and people and glad-handing, and it becomes a mess of trying to, like, peg out another player, because they disappear. Half of them all, you know, they try to get that 5 minutes alone before they have to, like, oh, talk to who they're with, or, you know, fans, or, you know, oh, this is Senator so-and-so, good luck in the game. You know, someone that backed them. Maybe they backed them with their money, you know, that kind of thing. Until the crowd thins a bit, and until the actual competitors whittle down to like a dozen, it's actually quite difficult on the short breaks just to like, I'm going to find this guy, you know? Do you spot them? Sure, maybe way across the room. But by the time you work your way over there, like, okay, bathroom time is up. You have 2 more minutes to get a drink and get back to a table, or you will be disqualified. Ah, oh, crap, you know? And maybe if you beeline for this guy, somebody always intercepts you. Oh, you're new in the tournament, you know, gliding around, type of thing, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yep.
First day passes and you're in it. Can I have a wisdom check from you, Rahal?
Sure.
To stay in the game.
May not be great.
Well, no, full send.
Do you have any bonuses in actual gambling? Do you have the gambling skill?
5. Do I have the gambling skill? No.
No. All right. A 5 wisdom check to stay in. You get halfway through the day. I was looking for 10. Halfway through the day, and luck is just not with you, dude, and you get removed from the tournament on the first day. And we'll see you next time. No, I'm just kidding. We're like 30 minutes in. You get removed from the tournament.
That's not fair.
What do you do? A wisdom check of 5. The DC is 10 to stay in the tournament each day. You get removed halfway through the first day. Rahal is out. What do you do? Besides, you know, crying your beer, you know, turn in your pin, you know.
Observe the tournament.
Okay. So, halfway through the first day, you turn in your pin politely. You join the crowd of audience. Want to see who wins, you know? And, you know, there's some jeers, but there's a lot of the support. Like, these are fans of the game. So the people that walk off the table, you get a lot of, oh, tough break, Smith. Tough break, Smith, you know. Hard go there, Stripes. I don't know your name. You know, tough luck, Stripes. You know, that kind of thing. Right, you'll get next time. Next year, Stripes. Always, you know, that type of thing. You know, there's no booing and jeering. There actually is a lot of heartfelt support of bad luck or bad cards that could just put you out, you know, through the game. You did the best you could. And you're in the audience. Perception from Merrick and Besh. Again, please.
Okay.
Wait. But wait. I forgot. We're playing Star Wars.
Yeah.
Force point.
I'm going to force point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait.
I'll tell you
Destiny
what.
Destiny point.
I'll tell you what, I kept asking. I asked several times, what do you do? I leave the table. What do you do? I'm gone. I'm afraid a regular force point from you, that option is gone.
Damn it. Destiny.
But I'll tell you this, we have a patron, a gold patron, that in an emergency can spend, and this is his favorite game. So calling upon the powers, and a shout out to Matt Kenny, who basically is one of our $20 tier patrons and can save a player by causing a reroll. Or, you know, now beware. People are like, oh, that's pay to play. You guys will never die. No, these patrons can also screw you. These patrons can go, wait for the boss fight, and when they do something cheesy, easy, make them reroll. You know, like, it works both ways.
I'll take it.
However, I'm seeing here in the chat another patron, a man you know well. Hi, Coop. He wants to cancel it.
Oh, you jerk.
Unfortunately, Coop, that's not how that works, buddy. You gotta wait for like the next time. And I even know we had offered new patrons the $20 tier benefits. So even if someone joins us in the next month or so at a $3, $5, $10 tier, they will get full $20 tier benefits, including said gold point to spend in any game on any foe or any friend for the first month. If you're an existing patron and you get a buddy and get that patron to say, hey, Bob brought me in, both you and your buddy will enjoy $20 tier benefits for a full month, your first month here with us, to tempt you to the dark side, to mess with my players.
Coop. Thanks, buddy.
No, thanks.
No, but he does illustrate a point, because I don't want to make it seem that, like, as weird as the system already is, that the patrons can just throw down cash. And we have fans and listeners that, you know, aren't patrons, that are just as loyal to us and just important to us as our patrons, that, you know, somebody can't cash in with microtransactions. That is not the point of this. But I'll tell you what. Rahul, can I have a new wisdom check? And we're totally cashing in Kenny's point.
I'll take it. 100%. Come on, baby.
Okay.
And I'll force point it. Never mind. I'll just take that natural 20.
Okay. And I'll force point it. Nope. Sorry.
No.
Come on, buddy.
You want point too?
Oh, yes, I do. And I'll force point it.
All right.
Two.
So 22. That's 22. Okay.
So there you are in the crowd, a tear in your beer, right? And the game, the table you're at, goes like one more round. And then all of a sudden, the droid starts malfunctioning and doubling cards and doing weird shit. And they stop the game and they investigate the droid. And whether it was sabotaged or just jinxed, they decide that the entire set of Sabacc is a no-go.
Oh, yes.
And you're back in.
In with the technicality.
So they find you in the crowd and they, sorry, sir, there's been an incident at your table. You know, we're very sorry you're disqualified. In the fairness of the tournament, you were put out in the fourth round of the second set. And you're like, yeah, I was put out for it. Thanks for reminding me. And they're like, no, sir, please come back to the table. And they give you back your pin. They sit down and there's a short, you know, you guys are, anyway, you guys are just sitting there waiting for, you know, the droid to be replaced. And they're looking into this kind of thing. So, Department 7, can I have one of the guys from Gate 7 assist security in the removal and inspection of this droid? We need a technical crew at this, you know, to come to a back room.
Certainly.
Okay. So Merrick jumps up. Yay, I'm so bored, right? Comes running over. And you see Merrick help them, you know. He's not one of the tech guys that removed the droid, but he's with the security that are, like, you know, shadowing it like it's a VIP. And he disappears in the back room. Merrick, they start disassembling the droid. Mechanicals, okay. Technical, you can give me roles, and if you want to assist them or point something out, or maybe one of their air, you know, it's not your job, but if you're standing there security to make sure that these little techie guys mess with it, they may or may not take kindly to your technical and mechanical advice. But this is very interesting. I mean, let's get past the first five rolls where you just make five bombs in your head of this thing, and then we get down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah. You know, well, you're already fast past my heart where I was going with this. I'm like, five limbs, five bombs. Mm. So, mechanics. Yeah, we'll roll that.
Okay.
25.
Okay. Can I have a persuasion check from you?
Of course. That is not where I put my points. But
that's fine. Right.
Yep. Persuasion. Seven.
Okay. So you offer to assist,
mm-hmm.
and one guy's like, no, man, that's not your job. Stand down. And, like, the two other techies both jump in with aid, and they're going, no, dude, let him help. Like, we are, you know, we got other stuff to do. This is slow. Like, the tech guys have so much tech going on to keep the tournament running smoothly. You know, if he doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But anyway, so two guys can aid another. Two NPCs that just, you know, want to share mm-hmm. the workload. Here, let them look at the limbs, you know. Why are you making those limbs beep? No, they, you know, that kind of thing.
Then you know where they are.
Yeah. So with your mechanics check, mm-hmm. feel free to role play if you wish. Start pointing things out, and you prove you know your stuff.
The gyrosphere could rotate much more efficiently. If this is a disqualified competition that has been used for leverage, I would say that the joints are the most valuable components if you are salvaging. But if we are just going for raw components, then we're going to go for the chest cavity.
Right. So the guys are like, hey, he knows his stuff. And like, there you are in the back room playing around with this. We'll get back to you. So, Rahul, they bring in a new droid, right?
Yep.
Okay. You're allowed to play again.
Okay.
And instead of, if you see what I did there, I drew upon the story plus an idea I had and just made an incident. I can't erase time how crappily, oh no, you never got tapped out. Create an incident where they could bring you back in, and now you're using your new role, Wisdom 20, and you finish the day with a strong, like you only tend to stay in, you finish your day with a strong lead at your table, and you are, you know, making money, you got a comfy pot that you lost back to continue on with credits for more decent betting, you know.
Yeah, and that droid I sabotaged really didn't work out for my benefit. Don't mess with the merchandise. Broke the cardinal rule.
But you know, better not. I'm not saying it's you. I mean, you could say it's you. I'm not saying it's you. You don't want to be caught that it's you. Mumble into your, you know, the pin is listening, right? What? Take out the guy in the stripes. He just said something about sabotaging a droid.
That was my internal monologue.
Oh yeah, no, I even in character, I got the, you know, the aha. So. Besides that going on, there is a point in the first day, right at the end, where they're wrapping up. And because your table was delayed, it's one of the last ones to finish.
Okay.
And with your 20, you smack down so many people and they fail out. Because it's not a matter of just waiting to stay in. It's how quickly guys at your table, you know, wipe out. So let's say I have five guys at your table, everyone rolls 10, they're going to proceed. You got another table with 4, 5, 6 guys, they all fail, they're not. But if you have your table here, let's say you and one other person succeeds, they need to fill your table again. And they condense the tables down, so they always have a nice full 3 to 6, you know what I mean? At each table as the day goes on. For suspense, you know, they might have at least 2, so you have that person, you kind of feel, you're actually playing against a dealer and luck, but you know, that kind of thing. So many cards in the deck, as it were, in the shoe. Now, out of curiosity, I believe in a real life casino, there's 5 decks of cards in a shoe in the big box that they deal from. Is it a 5-deck shoe or a 10-deck shoe? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Something interesting to look up. Mr. Gibson. He's listening. Just give something to do. He fell asleep at the door, you know. The only person he got to frisk was like another player. We get to the end of the day, and a bunch of NPCs, you know, tap out of your table. So for like the last kind of hand, and to start almost in like the next round, along comes a young man, sandy brownish blonde hair, large jagged scar, wearing the lieutenant's uniform of the Empire, sits down at this table, and politely nods to the two players adjacent and has his sort of Shirley Temple-ish drink and waits and breaks his stack of credits and sits with them waiting for the new droid to come up. There is a 1 in 6 chance, 2 in 6 chance actually, he has a person either side of him, that you are cozied up with this guy. Now someone might say, well, what if the guy's on the end? No, he doesn't sit. He sits somewhere between seat 2 and seat 5. Matt, can I have a d6? I'm going to roll a d6, and if you are within 1 of my number, you're sitting beside him and have a chance.
6.
4. So you found yourself on the end, and there's a guy between you and the lieutenant. Doesn't mean you can't talk to him, but obviously you're going to be kind of like talking past. You know, the tables do have that round curve, so it's not like you got to like lean over, but up to you.
Well, so you like I'll greet any of the players as they're coming and going. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he
comes
to the table. Notice he's in his full Imperial officer garb.
Yes.
Ah, welcome to the table, officer.
He nods.
Never would have expected someone of your stature to be getting involved in something like this.
He turns to you coldly and cocks an eyebrow and says, "Really, Sabacc is a game of skill, is it not? But also one of luck. Much As in battle, best laid plans can go awry due to random elements. Unfortunately, my fellow shipmates have ceased to be a challenge for me, so I requested leave to come and play in this tournament, in hopes of seeing how I fare against... And he just sort of... And again, it's a polite courtesy nod, you know, to everyone around me. How I fare against... Nod, nod, nod. The rest of the galaxy.
Very interesting. I suppose you're right, because this table for sure is the battlefield tonight, buddy. I'm on fire.
Best of luck.
You seem to carry yourself pretty well. I'm assuming you're a bit of a veteran of the game.
Actually, I just learned the game a little over a year ago in the academy. My tactics instructor used Sabacc analogies frequently to illustrate his points, so eventually I sought out the game itself. I found it intriguing enough.
Interesting. So how have you been enjoying the competition so far? What do you think of the players?
Not much. Present company excluded, of course. Again, back to the polite, you know. We're at the end of the day, and obviously if you made it this far, you're not a chump. This is like last hand of the day.
So, what ship are you on? I didn't see any Imperial cruisers flying around.
Actually, I'm a tactical officer aboard the Imperial I-class Star Destroyer Ostidius. We are on special assignment duty, based out of Prakath. He waves a hand nonchalantly.
How convenient. Any of your other crewmen taking part in the tournament while they're here? I think you're the only Imperial I've seen, but I suppose you don't have to go out in your uniform if you're on leave.
He stiffens a bit, as if to remind you who you're speaking to, and he's proud to wear it in any situation. No. My fellow crewmen have little appreciation for the game.
Ooh, sorry. Anyways, shall we?
He raises a glass to you, makes the ice clink against the edge. Best of luck.
To you as well, my friend.
Okay. The strange alien that sits between you and clinks your glasses together. Yeah. Guy makes a face and just kind of does the proverbial bubble space, you know, an inch away from the non-human alien. He is Empire. Places his glass away from the shaggy alien.
What would you roll for like a sense motive in this system?
Perception.
Perception? Yeah.
His disdain for the guy's actions is obvious to everyone at the table, so I just stated them. But if you want to dig a little deeper on something, sure.
I just want to, you know, see if I'm getting the he's full of shit vibe, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
With a perception of 22.
He is, I wouldn't say he's happy to talk to you, can we open this up? A little retcon here with some persuasion from you.
Sure.
Okay. Capping that as the lead, however you leaned in, and, oh, well, you know, Stripey wants to talk to you, that kind of thing. Something about you speaks his interest out of the gate. I should have asked for that up front, because just getting Imperial officer to have polite conversation may or may not be a feat. He's a little stiff. But you get him talking. We just had this conversation, which brings you back down to the perception at the end. He seems to be telling you the truth. If he's lying, he's just withholding facts.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
If he's here from the Astidius, that means he probably came off a shuttle, but the Astidius would have to come into orbit of Bespin. I mean, you wouldn't see it in the sky because you guys are like at atmospheric level, but you can bet your credits to Kahuna's that there's an Imperial shuttle either dropped them off or sitting in a bay somewhere.
Yep. Oh, I bet there is.
Now, if there's not, that means the Astidius is in orbit. If the shuttle's still here, it means the Astidius dropped them off and jumped somewhere.
I'm pretty sure we'd notice an Imperial Star Destroyer.
We get to the end of the first day, and you guys finish up and are reunited. Merrick, you finish your shift. Besh, you finished your shift. And Zin contacts you.
All right.
Okay. And tells you that she has, or sorry, Zin and O'Keefe have confirmation that a Star Destroyer popped up in orbit, launched a Lambda-class shuttle, and immediately hyperdrive jumped. And there's a shuttle that they noticed breaking orbit, and so they've, you know, they've kind of done, they're on the same, because they're on lookout, right? You've got Zin tapping yep. everywhere, right?
This and is I'll, report you know, I'll share the information that I found out from them, you know, like I met the occupant.
Yeah.
In collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a player.
He gives you a time window. Sorry, Zin gives you a time window of when the Astidius would have shown up and dropped said shuttle. Would have been around the same time as the grand opening ceremony. So this guy obviously, well, he didn't come in late. Obviously, he's had papers or whatever forwarded, and you know, he just, you know, everything must have been forwarded. Money, blah blah blah. We're coming, you know, type of thing. And they took his money, right? Took his leave, and last minute, you know, shows up. But the shuttle landed, and the Astidius was here right around the time we had our, you know, 6-hour grand opening parade ceremony kind of thing. That was the window.
Okay.
And again, remember I said something about a bit of a disturbance in the crowd?
Mm-hmm. Did I ever catch her passing by?
Oh, not that kind of disturbance. I mean the kind of disturbance where I make Aiden Williams shit his pants because he gets a bad feeling and we start playing dark music and they say, do you tell everybody? No, because he's hiding. He's a Force user. So we'll get back to that on some other day, some other time with Mr. Willems. But right now, let's focus on the game. Gentlemen, I am going to go for a little break. I'm actually going to leave the chair and take off my headset for two reasons. One, you and the audience can have a lovely chat about the end of your day. Gentlemen, you're off shift. You reunite at the room with Rahal, and you can talk about what to do, your plans the next day. I will return shortly, and I will have no knowledge until you guys tell me, inform me what you have decided to do. So pay attention to your chat, our lovely listeners that may have ideas. And gentlemen, you can roleplay amongst yourselves. I will return shortly.
Alrighty. So, obviously...
If they don't have knuckles, they can't play cards. It's aggressive, but it works.
Yep. I'll tell you guys to keep an eye on the Imperial officer dude. See if anyone's talking to him, if he exchanges anything with anybody.
Yep.
Because if we can intercept the exchange, we might be getting our hands on the information we're looking for. If not the information we're looking for, a path to the information we're looking for.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. So if Zin has noticed this information.
Yeah, the Imperial Star Destroyer came in, dumped the dude off. But I knew that, but now we know that there is no Star Destroyer just above us, hanging over us. Can you imagine that? We're just like, all right, what do we got to do? Let's make our getaway. Just like take off. Pew, pew.
Pretty much.
Well, that was a good game, guys.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, time to reroll some guys.
4 years. Smash.
I know, right?
But
and we're just getting to the point where we're starting to feel not
powerful,
so tender anymore.
Yeah, yeah. We can do shit. But a turbo laser takes that away very fast.
Yes, well, I mean,
obviously it's a turbo laser.
Lasers.
Yeah.
The hat is super uncomfortable to wear because I have to turn my headphones sideways and they just don't fit the ears. Anyway, so yeah, for doing this, I mean, I'm just gonna like hope and pray. I'm gonna spend all my force points on my wisdom rolls.
Yeah, so, go bananas. If there's a way that like I can help you, you know that I have force points. Like
I don't know, like
Easter eggs.
Do you have any destiny points left?
Maybe one. If while you were repairing that droid, you were actually able to hack into it to, you know,
yeah,
to help.
Like, oh, we've got this droid fixed back up. He's going to come back into service now.
It was my destiny to repair the droid.
Well, it was your destiny, yes, to repair the droid so Rahal can win the tournament.
Well, it's not about me winning. It's about the other guy winning.
Right. Well,
I'm pretty mission oriented. Now that I've seen the Imperial, I'm going to be, you know, probably paying more attention. I mean, not necessarily, but you know, at the very least, staying a table away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and if like his table needs leaning on, then lean on his table shall be.
Yeah. Keep an eye on him. And then also, like, as we're getting down to it, probably end of the day on day two, I'll start trying to help out Morno or whatever the guy's name is, the other captain.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, multitasking. And you guys can, take position. Try to always have one of you guys in position to observe that dude.
Yeah.
All right. That shouldn't be hard.
I think that's probably your best bet. And then keep a record of anybody who interacts with him.
Fair enough.
That doesn't, that doesn't seem like they should be there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't worry about every waitress that brings him a drink, but.
Yeah. Well, it's not every, the waitress.
Yeah. Every non-waitress.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. That's 100% fair.
Actually, no. Rahal's way more paranoid than that. He would want to know everybody.
Yeah.
Best laid plans, gentlemen. So.
Yep, I'll figure it out.
The scene is back at the room, the Baron's room, where you guys have, been conspiring.
Yeah. So we talked about it. Rahal is going to poison that individual.
You're going to poison the Imperial officer?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we just put in our stunt double, right? We just dress up Ramagiligar,
Yeah.
Are you saying the guy with four arms can't be part of the Empire? Something like that?
Yeah. You see, you listened the entire time.
No, I did not. But you know what? That would be a rather, it was doable, but a negative to the persuasion check that a four-armed alien was an Imperial officer because they're kind of a Humi-only club.
All right, that's what he's focused on. The poisoning seems a go.
I would like to hear this plan from Rahal himself. It just seems to be a little bit.
No, I'm day as usual. Always, I told Merrick and Vibesh to always make sure that one of them's got an eye on him. They can trade off shifts as duties required, but always make sure they're in a position where they can see and track whoever interacts with them, because we're trying to find the exchange. Mm-hmm. I may not sit at the table with him, but I'll stay, a table or two away if I can. And close to the end of the day, I'm going to shift over and start assisting the Twi'lek captain guy. What's his name? Morno?
Moro. Captain Moro. Okay. Bright and early, next day. Right? We're back at it. Okay. Day two, 2/3, like a lot of people. We're down to 20 odd people. But it's harder to get knocked out because these guys are really good. And like, again, you're playing against the dealer, not to go bust, not necessarily just each other. So these 20 odd might hang on for several days. However, today, as it were, your first day, we get a report that somebody tampered with a droid, or maybe it malfunctioned. Merrick, with your assistance, and you have actually uncovered that someone actually did tamper with that droid.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was supposed to, whatever it was supposed to do, deal bum cards or whatever the programming, and like I said, the anti-measures, like to deprogram a droid and that type of thing, like these casino droids are not easy to tamper with. Somebody tried to, and it would have been, they would have gotten away with it too, kind of thing. But unfortunately, somewhere in the programming or something, as it, kept going against its primary programming, it started to freak out, have its own digital aneurysm, and, visibly malfunction. And now we have found evidence of a reprogram, logs, security checks, right?
Yeah.
Some things have been happening, okay? When this droid was put through the wash, as it were, right? Because it's a used droid, like these are not brand new off the factory line. These have been casino droids for any casino droid that's more than 5 years old, we won't use. Only the newer models, 5 years or less. Okay, let's inspect them all. And this happens months before the tournament even starts, right? As they check off every box, some of the ones that are failing need maintenance. And close to the tournament, right, this droid has logged in its memory or whatever that it was one of the one that needed an upgrade, a Windows update, that type of thing. And something didn't take, apparently, and they did it over. This was the first sign of tampering. They just tried to cover it up the data didn't go in properly. We'll just rerun the update. Didn't reboot properly, that kind of thing. Suspicious. And then you find parts of its programming, and not a mechanism, but some things like, okay, well, if this programming was logged to be redone in its motor skills because of a bad servo, why yeah. wasn't the servo replaced when the servo that's in the thing's arm is perfectly fine? And yeah. it's serial dated to an older date, where if they had replaced it, it would have a brand new stamp on it.
Yeah.
Right? But according to the programming, you see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Check after check after check. So you have solid evidence, thanks to your mechanics and the tech guys doing a lot of the programming work, that this droid's been tampered with, and they report it to your boss.
Yep.
Good work, says Jack Mandelbrot. Well, I knew I found a winner. And, yeah, you're doing a good job. But you know what? Your friend there, it's like, he's been, I got reports he's manhandling some of the players and this and that. So I'll tell you what, I want to put you two together. He's your guy. He's now your responsibility.
This is acceptable.
So, instead of just giving you a warning, you know, keep an eye on your guy, or just going to Besh, right? Who probably got a warning.
Yeah.
They come to you privately going, look, you got this guy in, but hey, you did us a solid, so we want you to keep an eye on him. They put the two of you on the same gate today.
Okay.
So here we are, working the same gate.
Yep.
And after some paper, rock, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Mostly lizard, Spock.
Yeah. Besh wins the wand.
Yeah.
Better luck next time.
Ah.
People are coming, people are going, you guys are making perception checks, yada, 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 yeah. May I have a perception check from both of you, please?
Certainly.
Fourteen. Besh, you're running over this guy. Little Celestin with your wand, you know. And there's the usual, can you empty your pockets? Can you, oh, sorry this, sorry that, sorry that. Yeah, oh, of course, you know, I'll, you know. And to have a show, he's armed. And he shows you his permit. He takes the holster and the weapon off, right? Keeps the permit and gives up the gun into the tray. And you guys have a lockbox. And, you know, people come off the street and they're, you know. He's armed, but he gives up the weapon, that kind of thing. It's all good. And Merrick, perception, what'd you get?
I got a number.
He's giving you the, you know, gives you the gun and everything.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I rolled a 3.
Give you a 5. Anyone want to use a force point?
No.
Besh?
What's that?
Did you want to use a force point to possibly boost your roll?
Boost my roll?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Okay. One, the guy gives up his gun. He's clean. In he goes. And it's the same thing over and over. You know, like, people are pretty forthcoming with any obvious weapons, and we don't seem to find anyone smuggling anything. People seem to be behaving themselves for the day. Day two? That's the beginning of your day two, and you guys are working security. And backlogging to you guys, everyone's in. The gate was clear for today. What happens on the floor, you guys are still in charge of. Back to Rahal.
Yep.
Day two.
Back in the game.
Back in the game. You play for half your day. I won't ask for the roll just yet.
Okay.
But you come upon a full-on break. Like the lunch break.
Okay.
Okay. And as luck would have it, can I have a perception?
You sure can. I'm quite perceptive. Oh, not really. 11. I'll force point that.
Sure. Yeah.
Come on, baby. There you go. 16.
16. You catch a glimpse of the woman in the dress leaving the floor and heading out a side entrance outside the main casino onto one of the balconies. Breath of fresh air kind of thing. There's a big one. And a lot of people go out there all the time. And this is a place you visited. There's like a balcony where people have a drink and schmooze. And it's kind of a VIP thing. There's a couple small balconies that people hardly use. Because, you know, people go out there to meet and greet. The only reason someone would go out there is maybe to be alone. Then there's schmoozing with the crowd. Or just running for a restroom. Or just running to the bar to get something to eat. You know, you've done all this before in the first day. You know, casing the place.
Of course.
You know, just doing everything that you must do. So
I will follow her out the balcony.
Okay. A spectacular view. As
she ain't half bad either.
As over top of the parapets, ships are zooming. There must be launch ramps and such far enough away that, like, we're not at the base, ground zero of an airport, and, like, jets are going by. You don't want to talk to you kind of thing. But it adds to the ambience that there's that zooming of, like, a spaceport ambient that's up and away, and you guys are in a pocket little world with a breathtaking view. If you're watching the video,
no, you know,
clouds stacked, and you can actually see out several kilometers and down below a large red and crimson platform storing huge Tabana gas tanks on an aerial platform suspended, hiding half in the clouds out there in the distance. Stark contrast to the billy white clouds and a beautiful sunlit day on this low balcony of the casino. The woman wears clothes that denote her as some sort of nobility. Can I have a galactic lore check?
You sure can. 11.
Can't quite place the system or the near human race or humanoid race from what world, because you know how, like, on Coruscant, and then there's Corellia. And Han Solo's from Corellia, and he pretty much looks, he's just Bob human, and then there's people from court, like, you know, there's their basic human all over this. You know, I'm from here, and only their accents change. Then you have the near humans, which are all the Star Wars aliens that have all the different skin tones and the tattoos going and that kind of thing. Some denoting feature, but they're still humanoid. Then you get into all your alien species, right? This woman is human, with her hair cut long and a dress denoting her as some sort of importance, nobility. However, she leans out on the balcony rail and, in deep thought, has a habit of one hand reaching up and a single finger slowly twirling a dangling earring. It takes you back to when you first met a woman with a very similar habit. A woman who is every bit as crafty as yourself. A woman who stole your heart, stole your money, and now is one of several that takes your alimony.
As I go to step out the balcony, see the twirling finger, stop. heavily debate turning around and getting the F out of there. But no.
It's her. No way. No, it's... Is it? Is it? You? They always say there's a doppelganger. I mean, I literally went to work the other day. I saw a guy wearing the same khaki pants my wife hates on my son. He has the new, the samurai bun and the hair cut short like my son does, and has the sort of thin, slightly hunched over walk in his gait. I thought it was my son. I almost approached this guy, and then I realized it wasn't him. And this is in the same town I live in right now. They say there is a doppelganger on this earth. What about the galaxy? You got to make sure. Is it her? Is it Lydia? Or is it just...
Just, you know, carpet bombing is an appropriate response.
I'll just walk out.
Okay.
Hello, Lydia. What brings you to this corner of the galaxy?
She looks at you out of the corner of her eye and then suddenly glances around nervously left and right to make sure the two of you really are alone on this balcony. No, you know this woman. You know the registration. You know the badge. She was registered as one of the Holarian nobles. She actually has a lady's title. She snorts at you, shaking her head, like you're some kind of commoner that didn't address her properly.
Oh, terribly sorry, your ladyship. But I think we know each other a little bit better than that, don't we?
Her eyes narrow. She looks away.
Well, you sure seem to be doing good for yourself.
Still looking away, she mumbles under her breath, no thanks to you, considering how much back alimony you still owe me. If I wasn't a proper lady, and she leans in close and her eyes flare at you and her old accent slips out at this point, I'd be putting quite the bounty on you, Raleigh. Suddenly then her eyes flare wide and she remembers herself. She straightens up quickly and composes herself and then states loudly, in case, you know, there is anyone in earshot through the open doorway, "A pleasure to meet your acquaintance, sir. I don't think we've met, but I see you're an enthusiast of the game. My name is..." And then she spells it out for you distinctly, and so that you do not say anything differently. "Lady Farrell." Which is funny, considering Lydia's real last name is Fierro.
"Still up to your old games, I see, your ladyship. Although, it does surprise me to see you at this tournament. The way you used to carry on, I didn't think you liked gambling too much. What brings you down here to associate with all of us riffraff?"
As if holding her breath and her glare could dismiss you from her presence, and then deciding that she needs to breathe and you're not going anywhere anytime soon, she exhales, keeps up the facade of the new accent, and addresses you in character, but at least she starts talking to you. "The money is, of course, no object for me. But someone has to show this riffraff that someone will always be their superior."
"Superior. We'll just have to see about that."
Now, she's made it through halfway through the second day, and she's in your top 20 and probably digging towards the top 10. Like you said, you don't remember her to be much of a gambler. She was more of a grifter back in the day. But she must have learned quite a bit if she got this far.
"I know it's been a few years, but what got you up to this level of play? You didn't have time for this when it was my hobby."
"My late husband taught me the game. He was an exceptional player, but before his demise, I had surpassed him."
"Interesting. Well, that probably explains why you haven't got the back alimony, eh?"
Frown. "Can I have a perception check, please?"
"Sure." 19.
Perception in Star Wars is sense motive. You know her tells as well as any person that you've played more than twice with. You know when you're pushing your luck. She seems confident to talk to you in character, and you can kind of euphemism and beat around the bush, but any direct attacks on her identity, you're very close to losing her. She'll walk away, she'll probably, you know, she'll bail something type of thing. If you want to get any information out of her, what she knows or what the hell she's really doing here.
Gotta play her game.
You know you're pushing it. Let's just put it that way.
"So, your ladyship, have you got any tips for me? I haven't done the best today. Any particular strategies you recommend?"
She surprises you. Not out of character. This has happened a couple times in the past, but it's always led Lydia to trouble. She takes a step towards you and says, "The only way to play Sabacc is to play aggressively. Anything less is certain to fail." And then she slowly turns as if we're done, and she just slowly, you know, look like she's going to leave you.
"Still, really surprises me to see you here. Out of curiosity, you don't happen to know Dagger the Hutt, do you?"
She stops cold. "Hutt?" Tasting the word in her mouth like she just doesn't like the implication at all. Straightens up. "Such nonsense. I'm here to play Sabacc and win." Shoots a glance over her shoulder at you. "And that's all."
"Terribly sorry. Didn't mean to offend, my lady. Of course, a person of your stature would never deal with the Hutts."
Another humph, and she leaves you alone on the balcony. Can I have another persuasion? No, perception?
Perception. 25.
You realize you've struck a nerve, dude. Lydia was a true separatist back in the day. It was a swindling, conniving little viper. May the galaxies bless her. But a separatist through and through. Dealing with third parties, like the Hutts that are gangsters, or, you know, other, like the opposite side, like the Empire kind of thing, you know, is still a front to her pride. she came up on your side of the galaxy, she, whether she was a grifter or, you know, nobility with the separatists, she was, you know, she believed in the flag and the cause in, you know, the whole bit when the war went up and down. But the war dragged on, and, or sorry, when the war started, you guys were already divorced. The war came about, you just figured Lydia would be right into it, you know, you didn't want to really keep track. War beginning for you was very taxing for capital up front. It was only like halfway through the war we started making money and even covered half the alimony owed to all those poor defenseless women of the galaxy. And then the
defenseless women. Terrible. I have yet to meet one.
then the war turned. The war turned and the separatists got their asses handed to them, and your war profiteering came to a swift end, and your new journey, hiding in the galaxy, dodging alimony payments, began. She's obviously done well. Whether this is just front money with the money and the clothes and the limo, like a massive con, or she's actually the late husband has left her, you know, money and she did well. Maybe she's bored. Don't know.
Yep. Well, whatever.
But for whatever reason, you're going to have to work that out next time on We Shot First. Say goodnight, Mr. Bash. Waving his wand.
Good night, all.
Yeah. At the end of the day, a Celestin gets so upset he draws a weapon on a patron and threatens to shoot them. He's quickly taken down by security. This Celestin looks familiar to you, Mr. Bash and Mr. Messina, and they want to know what gate he came through and, you know, who is in charge of keeping said weapon from coming in here. And we will see you next time on We Shot First.
Boys in trouble.